Let's pull our Bibles out, and I'm going to have you turn to two places, and you're going to need to stay in both of them, because we'll be kind of flipping back and forth a little bit there. 1 Kings 19 and 2 Kings 2. We're taking a look here at the beginning of Elisha's ministry, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you tonight for those that have come out for this Bible study and prayer time. Just pray you'd meet our needs tonight, Lord, as we take a look at the Scripture. We just pray, Lord, that we would be the servants of you that you want us to be. And Lord, we just pray now that you bless our time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was blessed to grow up in an independent fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church there in Brunswick. And in our church, I had the opportunity to be in the presence of many men who at one time or another were great servants for the Lord. And they would come through and be in the pulpit there. And I was blessed to be able to hear some really good preaching growing up. Then when I went off to Bible school, at Tennessee Temple, I heard many great men of God in the chapel there. We would have chapel service and on a regular basis, and it was always a variety of men of God that from all over the country, and got to hear a lot of good preaching. Every man of God that I have been blessed to hear or to be in the presence of have in some degree or way had an influence in my life and ministry. Sadly, some started out great for the Lord. I can think of some particular faces. I couldn't call them name, but I know that they were, you know, I could recall their name. They were people that people would know, but my memory's not real great. Okay, I remember faces. A lot of times I don't remember the names, but some of these started out great for the Lord. Then something happened. They drifted away from the call of God on their lives. But thank God there were many who remained and were faithful to the end of their life. And I thank God especially for those whose life and ministry and faithfulness were a consistent testimony, not only to me, but also to others that heard them and had the opportunity to be under their ministry. Now, in our text tonight, we see Elijah pass his mantle and ministry to Elisha. That's where we left off last week. Remember, chariots of fire, horses of fire, chariot went up. Elijah went up in a whirlwind. Boy, it had to be some kind of sight to see. But Elisha got to see that, and we see that the mantle fell from the sky as Elijah went up, and Elisha got it, and he had a desire in his life to do even greater things for God than Elijah did. And as I look today, you know, that seems to be something that is dwindling. There are a lot of churches that are hurting. There are a lot of men. I was talking to my brother today, and one of the reasons why they shut down is because he was having a hard time finding people to just fill the pulpit. And it's getting harder and harder to find people to fill the pulpit that you can trust. It just really is. And what we need today is more servants of God like Elijah and Elisha. What does it take to follow a great servant of God? What does it take to become a man of God? Now, I want us to look tonight at becoming a man of God. So you might say, well, I'm not a man of God. I'm not even a man. What does that have to do with me? Well, your preacher may not be around here, till we're all taken home. I don't know. I hope the Lord allows me to preach until we just all taken up in the rapture. But with the history of my family, who knows? What if you got to look for a man of God? You got to know what a man of God is, don't you? I mean, you really do. I mean, I don't have any intentions of going anywhere, but the Lord may have different intentions. And I want to begin with as we take a look at becoming a man of God, I want to flash back for a few minutes here at Elisha's beginning in the ministry. And that's because we've already seen some things in his life that were essential in him becoming the man of God that he was. But I want to draw it all together tonight. And there are actually seven things that I'm going to point out here in these two passages of Scripture. So let's be in 1 Kings chapter number 19, and I want to take a look at verse number 15 to 16. There it says in verse number 15, and the Lord said unto him, talking unto Elijah there, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And here it is, and Elisha the son of Shaphat, of that place right there, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. So we see the first thing here is becoming a man of God requires the call of God. And there's definitely the call of God there on the life of Elisha. The Lord is the one who told Elijah to anoint Elisha to be a prophet in his place. He knew on the front end when Elisha came in that this is the man that's going to replace you. And so the call of God is absolutely essential to being a man of God. And sadly, there are some who have been placed in places of leadership who are not genuine men of God. There are a lot of folks that are in the pulpit today that are mama called or daddy called or preacher called or even church called. But to be a true man of God in the ministry takes God's call on one's life. And Elijah is not the one that called Elijah to ministry. It was the Lord was the one that called him into ministry. Now, second thing what you see is becoming a man of God requires not only the call of God, but it requires the anointing of God. The anointing of God. And we see that in verse number 19. It says, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Now, the scripture says here that after hearing the instructions from the Lord, Elijah went to find Elisha and he found him busy plowing. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. But Elijah passed by Elisha and cast his mantle upon him, which was a recognition and an indication that the call of God was upon Elisha. And it would have been about the same as what we have today. Man, I wish it was that clear today when you go to ordain folks into the ministry. Sadly, it's sometimes you can be deceived. But here, it'd be about the same as having an ordination service when a church, along with some other men of God, recognize the call of God on men today and ordain them into the ministry. But the church must be cautious to sense the call and anointing on a preacher's life. And I say that because there are some who may have a degree of some sort. They may have a slick-looking resume. They may have a sheet of paper saying they were ordained of men, but the call of God and the ordination of God is more important. And that comes from a recognizable anointing in their life. Third thing that we see here, and we talk about this plowing here. Becoming a man of God requires a busyness. A busyness. When God called Elijah, he was busy laboring. He wasn't busy doing anything else, but he was busy laboring. And let me say this, you know, there's no room for laziness in the ministry. Just not. I know some guys who thought that they were going to get into ministry and it was going to be, you know, boy, preachers only have to work 2 days a week, man. I want some of that. That ain't what it is. Some folks have no idea how much work there is in the ministry. But there is work, and it's not for the lazy. Scripture says that Elijah found Elisha busy plowing. He was not lazy. He was one who was used to laboring, and that's a good thing. You'll find out what did the guy do before the Lord called him to preach? Was he busy laboring? Because if he wasn't busy laboring, if he wasn't busy doing something, And I have a problem with him being busy with the ministry. We see here that when Elisha answered God's call and following after Elijah, he was busy with labor too. Look at verse number 21. Verse 21 says, "And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh and the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat." Notice this. "Then he arose and went after Elijah," and that next word there, "and ministered unto him." That takes work. What does minister mean? Whatever Elijah needed doing. He was Elijah's gopher. You know, whatever Elijah needed him to go for, whatever Elijah needed him to do. Imagine Elijah was getting on up in age at that point, and wasn't as strong as he used to be. And I imagine that Elisha was the one that he leaned upon to do what he could not do. Now, we see that he arose, went after Elijah, and ministered to him. He went from plowing for his dad to plowing for the Lord. That's how I put it. And then we see Elisha served Elijah even when Elijah was about to depart. Let's hold your place there. Flip over to 2 Kings 2. And we see in verse number 2 there, he's following Elisha right. Elisha's following Elijah right up to the end. It says in verse 2, Chapter 2, verse 2, "And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel." He was there to serve, and he wasn't going to allow Elijah to leave his presence. And we saw three times there that is said, and not only verse number 2, but also verse number 4 and verse number 6. We see that Elisha served Elijah right till the end. Another thing, number 4, becoming a man of God requires losing one's life for the sake of the ministry. Back in 1 Kings 19, of course, he's plowing for his dad. He gets the mantle cast upon him. What did he do? Well, he knew there had to be a forsaking and a sacrificing. And that's exactly what he did. Elijah had to forsake his parents. He said, you know, let me, and there in verse number 20, 1 Kings 19:20, he says, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And, he didn't have any problem. That sometimes some have problem leaving family. Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 29, "Everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit an everlasting life." What a wonderful thing. But Elijah not only had to forsake his parents, he had to forsake the way of life that he had known. I mean, as I said previously, he was used to plowing for his dad. He gave up that plowing for his dad to go plowing for the Lord, and he didn't look back. And Elijah had to forsake all his previous plans and aspirations that he had for his life. Don't you think that maybe Elisha might have thought, hey, this farm's going to be mine one day. You know, dad's not going to always be around here. And then, yeah, this is going to be mine. May have been looking down the road at his dad's farm, or maybe he had other plans for his life. I don't know. But if so, could I tell you that was all over with? It was. He put it behind him. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 16:25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Well, see, he lost his life. Now, yeah, he was still breathing, but whatever life he had planned, that was not the plans he was going to have anymore. He's going to have the plans that the Lord had for him. And when we come to know the Lord, we belong to Him, don't we? All of us do. Not just preachers. True for every believer. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 to 20. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, a man of God is the property of God to do with as God wants. And we see this in the life of the Apostle Paul. When he was doing his own thing, he was going hard at it, wasn't he? You know, when he was persecuting Christians, and that life that he had previously, he was full of labor, but it was labor for the wrong things. But when the Lord saved him, he became a man of God. He became God's man. And he said in Philippians 3, verse 7 and 8, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." And so, you know, he realized that, you know, he was God's. And he said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Now, back to 2 Kings. You can let go of 1 Kings now. Okay, we're going to be the rest of the time here in 2 Kings chapter number 2. Fifth thing I want you to see here is that becoming a man of God requires a desire from deep within. There, verse number 9, we saw last week how that Elijah asked him a question. Look at verse number 9. "And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." He had a great desire to do great things for God. You know, that's not bad, to have a great desire to do great things for God. One might think that Elisha might settle or on just asking to be used in the ministry like Elijah. And, you know, that would have been a great thing just in itself, to be like Elijah. Wish I could be like Elijah. But he wanted to be greater than Elijah. And not out of selfish purposes. And this wasn't for self-glory. You don't see any self-glory in this man. Elisha had the desire to be used in even greater ways than Elijah, and there was nothing wrong with that. I want you to understand that. I remember when I surrendered to the ministry, my desire was to do the Lord's will for my life, whatever that might be, and wherever that might be. In fact, you know, I've probably told this story before, but when I asked Susan to marry me, I did it in an unusual way. I asked her if she'd be willing to go with me wherever the Lord might take me. And she said, "Well, as long as you're sure that that's where the Lord is taking you, I would be." So, I wanted to be found faithful to the Lord to the very end myself. And I hope that the Lord allows me to remain. I don't want to get where I can't preach. You know, I look at my brother. I know it's eating him alive, because I know what a desire to preach does to you. There was a period of time there where he wasn't able to preach, and he got back in it even before he just wasn't physically able to do all the things that he would like to have done. But just God puts a desire in your heart to preach. And I have that desire. And I hope the Lord just takes me out quick. By the rapture, be okay. In fact, I'm just, you know, preaching one service, whatever, and just all of us go together. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah, there wouldn't be nothing wrong with that. But, I want to be faithful to the end. I don't want to sit on the sidelines wishing that I was back up in the pulpit and not being able to get up there. Just don't want to be that way. Becoming a man of God, number 6, requires doing whatever needed to accomplish the Lord's will. Look at verse number 10. here's the answer, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Well, he was already sticking like glue to Elijah. And he's going to stick like glue even more after that, right? And, he's wanting that double portion of Elijah's spirit upon him. And it says, verse number 11, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. Now, don't ask me more than what the scripture tells you. It tells us a chariot of fire and horses of fire. It's just a miracle of God. That's all I can tell you. Amen. That's what it was. A miracle of God. And parted them both asunder. And it's kind of like it went between the two of them. You know, here comes the chariot and here comes the horses, and one went one way, one went the other way. And before he knew it, Elijah went up by a whirlwind. Whirlwinds, a tornado, is what we call them. And went up into heaven. And Elisha saw it. Well, that was the qualification, wasn't it? Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. He was gone. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went on back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He had to take up the mantle of Elijah. Okay? That was a tall task because it involved a great responsibility to take Elijah's place. You know? It's like when you're asked to go fill somebody's pulpit or to come preach for somebody. That's a great responsibility. It's not, you know, not my pulpit. It's really the Lord's pulpit. Every time I get up here, it's the Lord's pulpit. A great responsibility. And take that responsibility seriously. And that was a tall task there of picking up the mantle of Elijah. And we see, last of all, becoming a man of God requires manifesting the gifts and calling of God on one's life that can be seen by others. Look at verse 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters. See, he'd seen Elijah do that. And said, where's the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, remember there were 50 guys that were looking on at this whole thing? And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. See, they got to see that. I think that's why the Lord had them there for that particular time, for them to witness that the gifts and calling of God that had belonged on Elijah were also on Elisha. It says there, and they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. What does that mean? That means that they were placing themselves subject to Elisha just like they had Elijah. Remember, these are guys that are in seminary, so to speak. They're in Bible school. They are learning. And they looked to Elijah, but now they're going to be looking to Elisha. Look at verse 16. And they said unto him, behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. Okay. And he said, you shall not send. You know, they wasn't really convinced that Elijah was totally gone, I don't think. Look at verse number 17. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, sent. And they sent, therefore, 50 men. And they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he just sitting there waiting on them, 3 day wait. He said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? I told you he's gone. You saw him go up. Yeah. You saw him. You saw the same thing I saw. But we see that Elisha is now the man of God that these young prophets can be looking to. And of course, with Elijah totally gone now, that is who they're going to be looking to. Well, we're going to pick up there, Lord willing, next week. And there's a little bit weighty thing that's coming up here in just a minute. We're going to see a couple more things happen here. There's some water that's going to be made where it can be drinkable, and there's going to be some little children that mock Elisha. And it's, you know, we're going to see that when he cursed them in the name of the Lord, some bears come out of the woods, and 42 children lost their lives. What in the world's going on with that? Sometimes there's some strange things in Scripture. Yeah, we're going to take a look at it. All right. That's our Bible study for this evening. What I had planned for you. Let's pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs that we went over previously, and we'll be dismissed.